Okay, finally get to buying lottery tickets from Meiser money. I'm going to go in the safer piece by piece and see what the Meiser, the halacha is. Okay. Lagavi knias kartis hagrola the Mossad Torani or the Mossad Tzedaka the Chesed Mikaspi Meiser nechleku apostim gelalam. There's a tremendous amount of disagreement what the halacha is. Yesha kosvu the English Lamish klal bekaspi Meiser l'shem knias kartis hagrola. Some people hold you're not allowed to use Meiser money at all to buy a lottery ticket for even though the money is going to tzedakah or whatever, because basically you're not donating to the tzedakah, you're buying a chance to win, and therefore your kavanah is not to give money to tzedakah, your hopes are buying or whatever. This is what's called supposedly, we'll see that there's all different reports of what the poskim said, but this is what Rafelder, what's it called, said. He said it was a Rav in Toronto. In any case, and he says that that's what he heard from Shlomo Zalman Orbach and from Lyoshin. So we'll see that there's other reports of what both of them said. The Yeshik, so he holds it Bechlal, you can't buy, we surely don't hold like that. We hold that there's some in between. We'll see what it is. The Yeshik costs for the Chalek. When it's a raffle that has a limited amount of entrants, there's only a certain amount of tickets they're going to sell. And therefore, you can figure out the percentage probability of any one ticket winning. Right? If there are only 50 tickets, usually those are very expensive raffles. They limit it to certain amounts, and you have a 50. 1 in 50 chance of winning, you can figure out, based on the probability of winning, what that ticket is worth monetarily. And therefore, in that kind of raffle, people buy it, even if their intention is not to give tzedakah, their intention is to win. And they're considering the odds and consider it a good chance that they'll win. So that, you can't buy from most Meiser, because your Iker Kavana is not donating to the tzedakah. Your Iker Kavana is that you are taking a risk, but a known, quantified risk in winning. The Ilu HaGrolish ain't kits for the Mesbar Kartisin, but normal raffles where there is no limit on how many tickets they can sell, and therefore the odds of winning become very, very small. Therefore, because of that, there's no tangible or considerable value to the risk or to the chances of winning. Therefore, your main intention is you're donating the money to tzedakah. If you win, you were lucky, right? The Rebbe Shlomo made you lucky. But you're not really counting on winning. You're giving money to tzedakah, and if you win, you'll be shocked, surprised, happy, whatever. Okay, then, basically, what you're doing is donating to tzedakah, and you can use from Meiser. We didn't get yet what happens now if you win. Right? What do you have to do? But in any case, where your main intention is to buy a chance to win, there, you're basically not giving to tzedakah. It happens to be that tzedakah is a secondary thing. Where, no question. When your main purpose is to give to tzedakah and your chances of winning are very small, your main intention is to give the money to tzedakah. The winning is a secondary thing. There, what you call, you could use Meiser. That's another opinion. The Yeshu Kosfu, others hold differently. Given Shal Pi Arov, most of such tzedakah, Memanim, Esaprosim, and Mechiras HaKartisim. In many cases, not like you said in the past weeks, but different to that, that they buy the prizes from the monies that are donated. In other words, a portion of the monies for the tickets go to buying the prizes, and the other portion is the what goes to the tzedakah. kama achuz meachnosos huav avur knias haprosim v'achuz zeh yishal mikiso haproti v'yashashar yichol yishal yumos maisim. This is a third opinion, that since the tzedakah has expenses to buy the prizes, so when you give that amount of money, right, that percentage of the ticket is not going to the tzedakah, basically it's going to pay for the prizes. So, and there's a percentage though that's going clear to the tzedakah, above and beyond what the prizes cost, which the tzedakah will remain with. So in that situation you have to deduct the amount that's going to pay for the prizes, because that's not really, not the tzedakah is not benefiting from that directly, only indirectly. And the amount that goes to the tzedakah above and beyond the prizes, that you can take off of Maaser. That's another opinion. The Yeshi Tir B'chol Ofen. And then there are those that permit completely to buy lottery tickets from Mos Maaser, because what's it called? Because basically, people, even in a lottery where the odds are better that you could win, they're still the 1 in 50 or whatever, 1 in 100. You don't have a lottery where they have two people, what's it called, you know. So it's still, basically, you've given the money to tzedakah. If you win, it's a separate thing. The tzedakah is doing you a favor. So according to that, you can give the whole amount from Maaser to any lottery. Okay. So those are the different opinions. And we said that in this lottery from what's it called, Ezer Mitzion, so they said that 80% of the cost, right, can 75% can go from, could be that they hold that the, what's it called, 25% they use for the running the lottery. Could be the presents, the prizes are donated, but they still have to pay people to get them, and they have to, whatever, there's still a cost in securing these things, even if it's just getting them to the place where they're supposed to be, or renting a hall, or whatever it may be. Not everything do people give to the tzedakah for free. They give it maybe reduced amounts. It could be that 75% is based on the sheet that holds that you have to subtract what the running of the lottery costs the institution, and anything above and beyond that, which will go clear to tzedakah, to the what's it called, to the organization, that you can take from Maaser. Could be that 25% is the expenses or whatever, and the 75% is what's going to the tzedakah. Could be, I don't know. But according to that, there's a reason why to take a percentage. Okay. Now, second question. What happens if you win? And you did take it from Maaser. Imola karchiso begoro v'zocha. Yeshikosfu. So some hold you do the following. Sheyazil Maaser sadomim shishilin balakarchis agoro. The agam yafrish Maaser miskuma zechia. The logoro misharevach. The nochon shiitnu lamosad zet. Okay, some say what you do is the following. You pay the price of the, what's it called, you take the price of the lottery ticket, okay, which you took from Maaser, and donate that back to Maaser. And also the winnings, if you won $100,000, so you take off $10,000 as Maaser, and it's preferable to give it to that institution. So you're taking off, if the ticket cost you $100, and you also made $100,000 on it, so you re-donate the $100 to Maaser, right? And you give $10,000 to Maaser, and preferably you should give all of that to that institution. However, the institution doesn't have a right to take it from you. They can't deduct it from the prize. You have a right to give your Maaser wherever you want. But it would be proper, since you did get this benefit from that institution, that they should benefit from the Maaser.
What if you want a card?
No questions. That's one opinion. The Yeshikos, who should call a Reva Shaykh the Maaser Ksofi. Others say, like I told you last time, that what's it called? That, and this is basically, according to the Yoshev, what's it called? Mipi Hashmua. Basically what, even though it goes against what it said before, because you're not allowed to buy a kartis according to Rav Yoshev, according to what the other one said. So you couldn't have bought it to begin with from Maaser, that it should now be something that you won from Maaser. But in any case, the um, Okay, what's it called? He says that, what's it called? The Moshe Feinstein says that really what you win belongs to you. It doesn't belong to Meiser at all. Why? Because since there's no cash value to the risk that you're taking, like we said, in most raffles, and therefore basically what you're doing is giving to tzedakah. And the tzedakah is giving you a present. Because you gave to the tzedakah, they're giving you the chance to win a present. So it's a present. It's not, doesn't belong to the institution. It's a present that they're giving to you. And you won that present. That's yours. Right? What you gave them, the tzedakah, is it's tzedakah. And the present is a separate thing. A lot of people said that in past weeks. Okay. So that's one opinion. Okay, that you can keep the winnings, but give back the money that you used for Meiser to buy the ticket, and give Meiser on what you won. Right, if it's high, the Meiser won a cash amount. Then we usually hold that if you win, objects, you don't have to take Meiser from the object. Okay. The Yeshu Kosfu Shebezchiyah Yochel Azochel Lo Kachas Liatzmo Esri Machuz Miklal Harevach. The others hold that, what's it called, you can only take 20% of what you win. And the rest of it you have to give to aniyim, give back to Meiser or whatever. If you won objects that you can't divide up, you know, give two tires, you keep two tires and you say give the rest to aniyim, doesn't work. This holds that in that situation you can buy the car for 4/5 of its selling price, and the rest you have to donate to tzedakah. The Achalik is Atmur Lani, who holds this, Yehuda Chesner. Okay, and they claim that that's also what Rabbi Yashu said. So far we've had about four different approaches of what Rav Yashuv said, completely different than the other. Okay. Okay, another possibility. L'das ha-sovrim she-kaspei ha-zechiyah shayochim l'maiser. According to those opinion, that if you win with a lottery ticket that you bought from Meiser, right, that the winnings belong to Meiser. Like we said, there's a story like that. The card is Meiser's, not yours. And that card won. So Meiser won, not you. You use Meiser money. So Einle Hischaki Vlaso Snai. You shouldn't be a Chochem, according to that opinion, and make the following condition. Shim Yiske Ozay Shalom Samechira Karja Saglami Kaswa Prophet. I'm buying this now on condition. If I lose, I'm buying it from Meiser. If I win, then it's my money, and I'll pay Meiser back what I bought the ticket from. Okay? Shouldn't do that. Why? Because that way you'll be able to keep the prize. According to those opinions, says you can't keep the prize normally. Right? Shouldn't do that. Okay? That's not a proper thing. The Meisa, you're causing Meisa to lose by making such a condition. Okay. Omnam Yeshu Kosfu She'ef Shalahachlit Shalot Shtar Hagrolahu Hazoche. Eliyasu Goral ben Kol Hashem Osvanoshim Shetarmu LeMosad Al Yedei Kniyas Kartise Hagrola VaHashem HaOla BeGoral Hu Amarviach. Both and Zeh Ein Tzorich Losis Is Kaspi Aschil LeMaiser. They can run the lottery in a different way. It's not that what's it called that the card that you bought is what wins, right? But the idea is that whoever donates to this tzedakah gets the schus of having a card that goes into a lottery. And whoever wins with that thing gets a present from the tzedakah. So it's not the card that's the direct winner of the thing. And you give to the tzedakah. And because you gave to the tzedakah, they give you a present of a card that could win. Could be that that's how the hagrolas work altogether. That they don't have intention that you're buying the car, the lottery ticket, and that's what's winning directly. But by giving to the tzedakah, they give you a present of a hagrola, it's yours. And now, if you win, it's your money. That could be that's the way it works. Yeshemorim, Shalom Roy, Litanis Rov, Kaspi, Amaisel, Hagrolos. Uvenikrim yuchadim yishli voice of moro hora. Okay, in any case, it's not a good idea to use most of your meiser money to buy lottery tickets. Okay, you should give it to tzedakah. Okay, and also, if you do buy a lottery ticket, you shouldn't be medactic with the tzedakah of how much money they're using to buy prizes and how much actually goes to the tzedakah. Just like you don't make a cheshbon of how much money a tzedakah gives to their mishulachim, right, and how much they actually get themselves. Because the tzedakah figures out how much it's worthwhile for them to have a mishulach that they wouldn't get money from this source at all. It's better to have a small amount and let the mishulach get, sometimes mishulachim get 70-80%, right? Really, I think Rav Eliyahu says a mashulach can get up to 20 or 25%, not more than that, of his, you know, if he gets a commission, not more than that. But there are institutions that feel it's worth it to them to give the mashulach 80%. All they get is 20%, but it's worth it to them because they wouldn't get that 20% if they didn't have this mashulach. So for them, it's hakol revach. They're not losing 80%; they're gaining the 20%. And there, if they send them to somewhere where they would have the money anyway, then they're losing money on this guy. But no tzedakah is going to give somebody money like that, right? If they don't know, then in the end, they're going to gain from it. So therefore, the tzedakah has to make the cheshbon of what's worth it for them. And therefore, even though when you give money, you're giving 80% to this mishulach, who may not be an ani, right? Many times the mishulachim are aniyim anyways. What difference does it make? Right? But you may give giving to somebody who's not an ani, who does this as a profession, but that doesn't make a difference. It's worth it for the tzedakah to pay him, right, a commission, and on what he earns, because for them it's hakol revach. They wouldn't have gotten any of that money anyway. Okay, so you're not medactic with it, tzedakah. Okay, bottom line, a person can use meiser for hagrolos if his main intention is to give the tzedakah, and if he wins, it's Hakol Revach. He's giving the tzedakah as tzedakah. In those raffles where they tell you can use 75% or whatever, right, then you have to go by what they say. They obviously are selling the raffles based on that psak or whatever. Then you should do what they say. If not, you can use it. If you win, you should, at least give back the cost of the raffle. And preferably give meiser from what you win to that institution. That's pretty much is okay to do. Okay. Those are okay. Any question now?
Can you use it? If let's say you win 100,000, then you get 10,000, which is supposed to, the meiser is supposed to give that organization. Can you use that for the raffle next year? 500 tickets.
Stop it, yeah. So if it's next year, you have to give this year's meiser this year, yeah.
A slightly different thing, but very similar. There are all these books which give you these stories about people who promise to give to Kupat La'ir or something to save their child or to... Is that a similar thing?
There's a Gemara that says, a person who says, Sela Zulit Stoka, Amanashi Yichyu Bod Bini, giving this money to tzedakah that my child should live, or I should get a chelek in olam haba. So the Gemara says, "Hareza tzedakah gemura," or "Hareza tzadik gomer." It's two different yourselves. One is that that doesn't affect your tzedakah, even though you're giving it for an ulterior purpose. But when it comes to tzedakah, that doesn't affect the tzedakah. The person is still considered a tzadik because basically, even if the child won't live, or he won't get a chelek in olam haba, or he won't get what he wants, he's not regretting giving the tzedakah. If he would regret giving the tzedakah if the thing doesn't happen, it's a different story. But he doesn't regret it, he gives the tzedakah, and he hopes to have a benefit from that tzedakah, right? So it doesn't affect the tzedakah. The tzedakah is still tzedakah. Tzedakah gemur, and he's still a tzadik gomer.
Okay. Why would he use the words amenas as opposed to Hashem, I'm giving all this meiser
in order that means it doesn't mean amenas, I'm going to take it back if he doesn't live. It means kedei sheyichya. Maybe the relation is in amenas. It means kedei sheyichya b'bni.
If we hold that you're allowed to use meiser money to buy the raffles, and we're assuming that the
the percentages that they give are based on a different psak, so then why do we follow what they wrote?
Because it could be that their cheshbon is that not all the money is going to tzedakah.
In other words, if all the money's not going to tzedakah, part of it is whatever to run the raffle, then we can't use that money from.
Yeah, even though there's a svara to say that's what the tzedakah uses their money for. Right? Not all the money you go to tzedakah goes. Some of it goes to pay other expenses. So what's the difference of this expense? That their tzedakah is doing expense to make money.
Right.
Just like they pay their water bill or whatever other expenses they have. I'm not 100% sure why that can't go to tzedakah, but if that's the cheshbon they made and they're selling the raffle based on that, then you should go according to what they're doing.
Okay.
I'm trying to get over the shock about the 80% of going to Mishloach.
That's fantastic.
So to what extent, you're credited for giving tzedakah to all?
You do, because Lamaisa...
But assuming that the Mishloach is not an army.
Even if he's not an army. It's worth it for that tzedakah. That's an expense that tzedakah has, right? So it's worth it to them to have an expense in order to make 20%, right, towards their budget of what he collects. So you're giving totally to tzedakah, except the tzedakah is using a portion of that to generate money for paying a mashulach. That's all.
A large portion.
Yeah, it could be. Sometimes it could be that the tzedakah is 90%. Or whatever, the Mishloach keeps most of it.
Not most. If people knew that, why would they wanna?
Because again, it's worth it for the tzedakah.
Yeah, it's not worth it for you.
It's not worth it for the person giving.
Why are you giving to tzedakah? Why isn't it worth it?
I don't expect the Rav makes the cheshbon up. But you get credit for the 100% or for the
20%? You get a credit for 100% you gave to the stalker. The stalker then has to make a decision how it wants to use its money. And it feels it's worth it to use its money, right, to pay this mashulach a big thing, because what they benefit from it, they wouldn't benefit if they didn't pay him, right, and it's worth it for them.
There's no difference what happens with the money. It could be that a mashulach, that a yeshiva institution in Eretz Yisrael, for example, pays for a plane ticket to send a mashulach to collect in New York. And it became rainy or snowy or whatever else, so he was only during his week able to collect $1,000. Didn't even cover his plane ticket. Kilo, 100% of the money never went to the tzedakah. So that's still an expense.
Right. The tzedakah still feels in the long run it's worth it for them to do that.
Yeah.
Right, so that's... What your money's going to, your money is going 100% to this stalker. They're deciding what to do with that money. Right? Same story, I believe, until last week.
Yeah, I think so.
With the Chaim Volozhiner.
Yeah.
If your money goes to the people sitting and learning, or it goes to pay for the bathroom supplies, the stalker has to pay for bathroom supplies.
So. Okay, the proportion of your,
No, but they also have to, they wouldn't get that money at all. It's worth it to them. Right? It's worth it for me to send somebody to some place where this stock has no chance of getting money from. Right? And I'll get 20% of what this guy makes, because if I didn't send him there, I get 0%. It's not that I'm going to get the money some other way. Right? So 100%, what's it called? That's you're giving money to this tzedakah to be able to earn a certain amount over the year. And they're deciding they want to spend a certain amount to be able to get that money.
But is it mutter to, let's say, call a particular institution and say, can you please tell me how much of your money is commissions and how much money goes to the yeshiva coffers, and pick to give your miser to a yeshiva that spends more wisely?
They probably won't tell you.
Or is it usher to do that before?
Is it usher to do that? No, they won't tell you for sure. But they won't tell you the truth.
Isn't it reasonable that somebody who has a fixed amount to give, and he has two guys in front of him, and somehow he knows that this mishloach is taking 80%, this mishloach is taking 10%, and he's going to give it to the second guy?
I don't know. It depends how much, but maybe this mishloach is going for a really important tzedakah, and by you giving that $100 to this tzedakah, right, they're going to be able to get the $20 that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise, and because they have this mishulach who they pay, they get not just your $20, but they get hundreds of $20 like that. So you're enabling them to get hundreds of $20.
Yeah, he's getting a percentage of this.
Yeah, whatever.
They're not paying him a salary. So
right.
Meaning, even if he only collects euros, he's only bringing in that.
No, but if he doesn't collect a lot, they won't give him 80%. They won't give him anything. They'll give him a yellow slip and fire him.
Really good. And can get money out of stones. Those are the mishulachim that get 80%. The ones who can get money out of a stone, like people who've never
right.
give. They're not sending a mishulach to Brooklyn and giving him 80%. They're sending him to Yochefetzil. And to the people who don't usually give stuff.
And who give a lot of money,
and
right. So it's worth it to me to give you right.
That's where they're sending the people that take the 80% commission.
Right, exactly. So people that they think it's worth it for them. If you give me $1 million, I'll give you 80% of the million, I'll keep 20% of the million. I never would have gotten that money otherwise. That's the cheshbon they make. Right. It's a reasonable cheshbon too. It's just a high. They have a high overhead. That's all. Yeah, you may want to give to some place that doesn't run their place with such a high overhead, but they made the cheshbon. It's worth it for them. So you're enabling them to what's it called to if the tzedakah is really worthwhile, and the tzedakah made the cheshbon, it's worthwhile for them. So you're making it possible for them to function.
A person comes collecting for one of these organizations, and
how do we get from this to raffles? What? Yeah, yeah, from raffles to this. Yeah,
I think we
finish this. We have any more questions?
Oh,
my fault. Huh?
Yes.
and you know where you have a hunch that this guy is getting a very high percentage. Is it wrong to just say, "Go away"? I don't want my money going to you. I'm going to send the check directly to them so they get the full amount.
Probably he will take his thing because that's my area, and the check came in from these people. I'll take the
So it won't help you anyways.
Usually it won't. No. Also, it's not again. Usually these mishulachim, right? It depends. Some people are professionals. That's how they make a living. So why is it wrong for the tzedakah to pay a professional fundraiser? Forget about a commission. He gets a very high salary. If he doesn't get a commission, he gets a very high salary. So, and when you give money, you can figure it out per your thing of how much percentage he's getting. Same thing, right? So why is that wrong, right? That they should pay fundraisers a high salary. If the person's good, it's worth it for them. It's worth it for them. And it's wrong for you to circumvent the guy because that's his parnasa. And if he doesn't have a job and he won't be able to make a living, then there won't be people who will be fundraisers, and then the tzedakahs will go bankrupt. So basically you're helping the tzedakah by paying this guy's salary too. So it's not I mean there are tzedakahs where the people who raise money don't take almost nothing, right? But those are usually the people who are involved in the tzedakah itself. Right, not people who are hired by those tzedakahs. Right? Somebody who's a tzedakah itself usually doesn't take for himself because they're idealistic. People need to earn a living, and that's their job, to be a fundraiser. They deserve to make a living. Okay, finish with this, yeah.
Yes, two questions about the Israel. We said you have to give back if you win the price of the ticket. Sometimes they sell like a package group where you pay a certain price and you get, let's say, 50 tickets. So you have to pay the
only
price.
Only one of those tickets won.
What?
You didn't win with 50 tickets. You only won with
right,
one.
Right, so you only have to be mechashbein one. The second question is, if your motives are not pure, is it still considered that you gave Meiser, like, if you once have given that large amount, that's something you maybe rather give it to other aniyim as opposed to Ezer Mitzim, but you did it because you wanted more of a chance to win the prize. Does that mean that you still gave Meister, or is that considered like a bad way? I mean, it's not how it's
best. Okay, since, like you said, it's based on the fact that even if you're giving it and you're hoping to win, you know the chances of your winning are pretty small. Odds-wise, right, you have a low chance of being the winner. Somebody has to win, but any one person's chances of winning are very slim. So even if you're hoping to win,
you're surprised.
What?
The raya is that you're surprised if you win.
Right? Yeah, whatever. Surprised or shocked or whatever. But in any case, so probably you're still giving it, knowing that you're probably not going to win, right? So then you gave the tzedakah. And you're hoping that maybe you'll benefit something from it.
And if you do think that maybe you're going to win, then does that make a difference?
No, you can, if you're...
Some
if you're,
rounds are better.
What?
Some of them are like smaller raffles. Like
yeah, that's
small
that we said may be different. That may be different. But big raffles, there's a lot of tickets or whatever, the chance of any one person winning is very slim. And even if you are an optimist, right, but Lamaisa, you know in the back of your mind that you probably gave this money to Tzedakah. So they don't want to hurt Asian Mitzion, so they can, for sure it's worth it for them to have these things and people use for mice or whatever. That's for sure. They wouldn't do it otherwise.